Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, the many paths to a creative life. An eminent philosopher and chronic procrastinator on the virtues of dawdling, postponing, and lollygagging. We'll get around to talking to him later, along with Ingrid Michaelson, an indie pop artist whose music has crossed over to popular TV dramas like Grey's Anatomy. We'll talk with her about making it big on the small screen. But we begin with creative leveraging of digital media. This Saturday, I'll be hosting TEDx Amaskeg Milliard. That's a satellite TED event in Manchester. The theme is co-innovation, and presenters include thought leaders in business, education, and in the case of John Herman, the arts. John Herman has been described as a Renaissance media maker of many talents. The Ford Motor Company named him a top 100 web influencer. Pitchfork dubbed him a compulsive ringleader. And Google used his profile on Google Plus as a model for how creative types could leverage the platform. He's a filmmaker, he's a stage producer, and was a finalist candidate for spaceflight. He's also an enthusiastic full-time high school teacher in Epping, New Hampshire. John's TEDx talk will be on how social and digital media have influenced the artistic process and the artists themselves. John, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you here. You're one of those people I've been watching for ages and, you know, consistently post really interesting and seemingly relevant stuff on Facebook. How did you get here?
In many ways, I was originally a filmmaker. When I got out of college, I started making films. But to work all year on a movie and maybe 50 people come into a theater to see it, I started to lose my speed. But then the web video happened. I created a video blog and I was just consistent. I did 47 weeks of a weekly video blog and attracted close to 10,000 weekly viewers. And that kind of changed me. I kind of saw the power of the internet. And so I just wanted to try everything and mix it with social media.
I'm looking at your website right here at johnherman.org. And it says artist, writer, teacher, web adventurer. There are all sorts of things that you do. Your improv comedy, web series, theater, teaching. This is a lot.
Yeah, I'm a obsessive art compulsive person. I sometimes say that I don't just go to a concert and, you know, sit there and enjoy it. I find myself, you know, after the concert wanting to contact the artist on stage and find a way that we can work together. And my wife is, you know, she's gotten used to that behavior.
So you're kind of a compulsive connector, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. I really am truly, sincerely inspired by other people's work. I actively seek out new connections and new ways to have other people express themselves. And the web just works.
Give me an example of how that kind of connection, you know, exchanging business cards or becoming friends on Facebook, turned into an artistic project for you.
I kind of look at new advances in technology or gadgets or specifically social media as opportunities. There's a term, early adopter. I consider myself an early adapter. Something new happens, whether it's, you know, the new Facebook timeline and everybody's complaining about it, I look at it as an opportunity and I say, okay, how can I use this to do something cool? So for example, Google has a suite of real-time collaborative editors. You can make a presentation or you can edit a document with other people in real time. I basically found authors from across the country, 23 authors, and then a visual artist. And we created what I called the 24-hour novel project. We all logged into a Google Doc and it was kind of orchestrated. And we composed a novel. And I had the 24th collaborator, the visual artist. He used a live stream video and he created the cover of the book as we were writing the book.
Wow.
And then within 24 hours, I released it on Amazon, Kindle, and for the Nook. But while the book was being written, it was projected on art gallery walls in New Jersey, mm-hmm. incidentally. But that's an example of, like, I find that really cool.
It is. It's a fascinating collaboration. You're using all these tools. But I have to ask, how do you turn that into a living?
That sounds exactly like what my dad's been asking me for, Nate, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I mean, I've got a job. I'm a teacher. I do consider myself an artist. And so I feel like I'm getting out of it what I want. And you mentioned the space thing and you mentioned Ford. In many ways, I've had these fringe benefits of making myself almost the product. I can't look at my own website in a way. It is a glorified resume, and it's very me. But it's really designed to attract people to want to work with me and see the things that I've done. What that has added up to are just opportunities. As long as I make myself kind of the center of each project and get my name out there, it only leads to more projects and more collaborators and more exciting opportunities. And I think that's the biggest lesson of social media.
So there's a kind of necessary vanity in, or let's say a very precise calculation in branding, I guess, to put oneself out there.
I guess so. I had my initial foray with a video blog. I attracted all this following. And then when I started my next idea, I lost that following because my name wasn't really attached to it. It was the project itself.
Uh-huh.
And immediately when it was, what is John Herman's next project? I could continue and kind of carry my following from project to project, and that was a lesson for
me. You're building the John Herman brand.
Exactly.
So to
speak. And I always relate it back to Walt Disney, and I think that that's what Disney does, is that it's kind of a Disney product, and you don't have to know very much. If you like Disney, you're going to check out the next Disney project. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm like Walt Disney,
but
there's a lesson there.
There is a lesson, but I think there's there's almost a cautionary tale there, too, of Disneyfication. You know, if you become sort of too ubiquitous, too well-known, you're diluting your brand, so to speak. Do you think about that? Like, I could do this, but maybe not that. I mean, you have to say no, I imagine, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, throwing millions of dollars at projects right now. I mean, maybe in a few years that'll be an opportunity. But right now it's really fun. It's really exciting. I've traveled like around the world and around the country doing just different projects and things like that. And I just wouldn't have been able to do those things if I didn't put myself out there and put my face on a website and, just talk about my passions quite openly. I don't know if that's vanity or if that's just, being open. But I assure you, I'm a very quiet person at home.
John Herman is a writer, stage producer. He's a filmmaker, an improv comedian, social media superstar, pretty much. And he's talking with us about, we're getting a little bit of a preview of his TED Talk on how the arts can be expanded, exercised, and collaborated and innovated on through social media. Okay, so you mentioned traveling around the country and the world. You almost made it to space. You have to tell
right.
us about that story.
Yeah, so, and that's a perfect example. I take every opportunity I see, basically. So I saw an ad that said, entries for a potential commercial space flight, and astronaut Buzz Aldrin was advertising it. I entered. I was dedicated to it. 50,000 people applied, and over the course of 8 months, they kept cutting people. We had to do different things, create a video, leverage people on Facebook to vote. I got down to the final 20, and then I got down to the final 5. And I was flown out to Seattle and met Buzz Aldrin. And I was eliminated in a 100-mile-an-hour wind tunnel.
Oh, no.
Where I was flying. I was literally floating in a kind of a skydiving tunnel. And I could see my wife through the glass. And my wife, she dealt with it. She dealt with it well, but she would ask me pointedly, like, well, don't you have everything you want here on Earth? And I feel like it was at that moment, like right before I was eliminated, that I realized that I did. But, I mean, it was space, and it was an opportunity that I absolutely would never have any opportunity had I not fostered a bit of a following, a bit of like a band of fun collaborators and kind of viewers who just are along for the ride and often participate in my projects. They're the ones who really got me there.
I have to say, I was one of those people watching every step of the way on Facebook and just thinking, go, John.
Yeah,
I mean, there really was something to rally behind there.
Yeah, it was a very emotional experience for me that I'm sure I need to write down at some point, because I felt like the state of New Hampshire had my back when I was in Seattle, like bouncing around in this wind tunnel.
I look at what you do, you're sort of a highly quotable person on a lot of different levels, the things that you sort of post and the things that you do. But I wonder, is there an ultimate goal of sort of being, discovered for this? Or would you say, if someone came up to you and said, I want to make a film with you right now, would you go off and do that? Mm-hmm. And are you sort of, I guess, testing out different careers now?
I have a very focused plan in a way, and all of the things that I've been doing kind of build to it, in that I have always been a writer and I've always imagined myself to be a novelist. That's the one thing people actually probably don't know a lot about me, and it's not on my website. is that I've been writing books for years, and just recently, in the past few months, I've started to actively seek out a literary agent and eventually a publisher for my first novel. And I can tell you right now that no amount of, you know, social media cred or, you know, I have the words existing fan base in my query letter. Mm-hmm. Like, how not humble is that? But it does not open the doors of the traditional publishing world. It's been a great education of rejection to try and crack that New York literary agency world.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, writing a novel seems like it's a quiet art. It's a lonesome profession. It's, you know, from all the writers that I've spoken to, what I come away with is the writer and themselves in the page in that quiet internet-free room that they just have to kind of seal themselves off in. So your sort of craving to innovate or collaborate with other people, do you think that's like a lifeline or, you know?
I think it's instant gratification. I can do a project. A lot of my projects are actually time-based and they are dependent on immediacy. I do the 48-hour film project. I've obviously done
I saw your 48-hour film.
Right. The 24-hour novel project. I've made albums in a very short amount of times, music albums, produced them. Meanwhile, when I go home and my collaborators go home, I'm going back to that, you know, glowing screen of my novel going like, this is taking years.
Okay, so your topic for the TEDx conference is going to be about how artists can use social media. And, you know, what I'm hearing from you is it changes the artist on some level. You know, it changes the person who's creating a brand, basically. Does it change the art?
I think it does, but I think anything you do with art and life changes the art, and it's a reflection of whatever's happening. So it's probably informing it in interesting ways. At least I see it that way. My main message with my talk is that with all of this, the technology and gadgets and advances in social media, that it's not inherently amazing. What is inherently amazing is what you do with that.
John Herman, thanks so much. I really look forward to your talk on Saturday.
Thanks so much for having me.
John Herman is a writer, stage producer, filmmaker, improv comedian, social media superstar, and almost astronaut. He's also a full-time high school English teacher. He's going to be talking about the influence of digital platforms on innovations and art at his talk this weekend at TEDx Amiskeg Milliard in Manchester. Now, there are organizations around the state that will be live streaming this, but it is a free event. And if you'd like a link to John's many projects and more on the TEDx Amiskeg event, which I will be hosting, by the way, go to wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up, if all that type A talk has you ready for a nap, have we got the guest for you, a lifelong practitioner of the art of procrastination. We'll get to that, well, sometime, or when Word of Mouth continues.